Welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. I welcome all of you. I know we have some who are visiting with us today, and I would just like to call your attention to the fact that there is in the pew a little welcome card, and if you would fill that out so we may know how to thank you for being with us today. We're so grateful that you have chosen to worship with us on this beautiful day, Palm Sunday. This is the start of Holy Week, and if you'll notice, your bulletin insert on the opposite side of the opening words is the Holy Week services. You see on there all the activities for this coming week, Monday, Thursday at 7 o'clock with a drama and a foot washing, which is not mandatory, but it'll be optional for those of you who would like to do that. And then the Good Friday crosswalk, we meet here at the church, and we will be walking the cross, half hour in one direction down Blanding and a half hour back, and conclude with a service here at church between 6:30 and 6:45. Then we have our Easter egg hunt on Saturday, you'll notice. And then Easter Day, we have a sunrise service at 7 o'clock, followed by breakfast. Sunday school at 9 o'clock, and one worship service at 10:30 next Sunday. So we hope that you will be able to come and be a part of this holiest of seasons during the Holy Week Festival and Easter Day. Let's begin our service of worship. We like to greet one another with the peace of Christ, and you say, "Peace be with you," and the response is, "And also with you." Will you greet your neighbors?
Bob, choir's up here complaining, saying they're hot. Is the temperature set correctly? Good. Good morning, Calvary. My name is Jamie Stowers. I'm a lay servant here at the Calvary United Methodist Church and for the United Methodist Church in a whole. I would like to welcome everybody here. The pastor took most of my job away here doing the announcements, but there is a couple things we need to touch on. Friday, the food bank. I believe, Larry, you're needing hams.
If he would, Road. We're looking for donations of small hams. I need them up here by Thursday evening for Friday's distribution.
With those canned Hormel hams, anything like that? But that would probably be even better.
Yeah.
Also, in the bulletin is most all the announcements. There's one thing that wasn't covered, and that's Sunday school for next week. It will be at 9 o'clock and not 9:30. From 9 to 10, because the service starts at 10:30. And I believe that's about it. Miss Betty. Amen, amen. All right, one more.
My name is Tracy Zhang, and I just want to let everybody know, April 30th, we are having a block party, continued celebration of our 50th anniversary. We want everybody to come out and help. We would like to see all of your faces that Saturday. We're going to have activities for children. We're going to have a piety booth. We're going to have a photo booth. We're looking at having a dunk tank. there you go. We're going to have a fishing game for fishers of men. There'll be, you know, the stories of the Bible will be told for the kids. So help the community know that we are here, and we thank them for supporting us, but we also want them to be encouraged to come and join us. You know, the church, we want the church to continue to grow. So please, if you have a question about something you can do to help, feel free to see myself, Jamie, Robin, Ron, Pastor, Miss Sue, Connie Laurie, my dad, that's Larry, Diane, Dee Dee. Feel free to talk to any one of us. We want your help, and we want to have just a great time celebrating the community and celebrating Calvary.
Amen. I think better than that, we're having a meeting every Monday night at 6:30. If you would like to come and participate, we need a church-wide participation so the community can see what we do and what we're about here on this top of the hill. Yes, Bob. We need participation. We don't need just your information. We need you. Yes, it's going to be a very fun-filled day. We also have a group that will be playing two 45-minute sets as of right now. They are a bluegrass gospel band. I never put bluegrass and gospel together before, but it sounds really entertaining. So, and we'll be putting out more information about them, who they are, and their ministry as it gets closer to time also. It seems like there was something else I was needing to announce, but council meeting tonight. Is that on the bulletin? And then the meeting Monday night, that's what it was, at 6:30 for the block party. All right, Andy, it's up to you. Oh. All right. You didn't tell me. All right, if you would pull out your insert in the bulletin. Hosanna to the Son of David.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Glory to God in the highest heaven. Let us pray.
Almighty God, on this day your Son Jesus Christ entered the holy city of Jerusalem and was proclaimed clean by those who spread their garments and palm branches along his way. Those with branches being for us the sign of victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may never hail him as our Lord and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. In his name we pray. Amen.
If you would stand and please turn to page 277 in your hymnals, we'll sing Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Turn to number 884, we'll have our affirmation of faith. We believe in the one God, creator and sustainer of all things, father of all nations, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love. We believe in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, our teacher, example, and redeemer, the Savior of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God contained in the Old and New Testaments, as a sufficient rule both of faith and of practice. We believe in the church, those who are united to the living Lord,
for the purpose of worship and service. We believe in the reign of God as the divine will realized in human society and in the family of God, where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in the life everlasting. Amen.
Invited to come up here. We have a nice group today. How's everybody doing? I want to ask you a question about what we did when we were walking in and you had these palm branches in your hand. Can you tell me what you were doing? That Jesus knows we were happy. That's why we were waving them. Okay, Maddie and then Bradley. That Jesus was going into Jerusalem, right? He was riding on a donkey, okay? That's right. We were saying Hosanna in the highest. We were repeating the actions. This is what Bradley said. He knows his Sunday school lessons. Thank you to his Sunday school teacher, Lois. But we were repeating what happened in the Bible, that people were waving palm branches in the air and throwing their cloak down on the ground as Jesus was coming in on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem. And they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King, right? They were praising and hailing Jesus as the King. They had wonderful words for Jesus, good words for Jesus. And aren't words important? Words are, how we use words are very important. And there, now when I was a little girl, and I bet you a lot of you out there, I don't know if these guys heard of this saying before, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Have you heard of that before? And guess what? It's not true. It's not true. Words do hurt. Words can hurt. And just a few days later, after Jesus came into Jerusalem, the same people were saying things like, crucify him. Now that's a real shocking thing, to go from Hosanna to the Son of David to crucify him. That's a terrible transition to make. And that's one thing we try to help people understand during Holy Week, what happened. And so we have worship on Monday, Thursday, which celebrates the Lord's Supper, his last meal with the disciples, Jesus' last meal. What's that?
I remember that in the Bible.
You remember that in the Bible? Okay, that's wonderful, Zachary. Let's see. And we remember the day that he died. We call it Good Friday, even though a bad thing happened on Friday. We call it Good Friday because he had to die in order that he might be raised again, and that's what happened on Easter Day. So there's a lot of things going on, but one of the things I wanted to talk with you about was how words make a big difference. Our words make a difference. And sometimes we say words that are unkind. Sometimes things pop out of our mouth that we sometimes don't even mean, and we need to apologize for them, right? If we say bad things, we need to apologize for them and take ownership. And guess what? We have a Savior who erases all our sins. And I have something important to give you today, an eraser. This is an eraser that will get rid of all your sins if you ask Jesus to. And it gives you some good words on here. It gives you some nice words. Instead of crucify him, It says, wonderful, keep it up, way to go, you're number one, star, excellent work. All of those are different words than we heard on Good Friday. And so here I'm going to give you an eraser. Each one of you gets an eraser. And remember those positive words and how we're called to build one another up rather than tear each other down. Here we go. Here's one for you too. Did everybody get one now? Everybody has one? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. We thank you, O God, for these children, and we pray your blessing upon their lives. They may continue to grow in your grace and strength and knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Betty. Did you get one? There you go. Will the ushers please come forward as we prepare in our service of worship for the giving of our tithes and offerings? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we praise your holy name in worship, lifting up your life to us in thanksgiving for all the goodness that you have bestowed upon us, our very lives, and our eternal life. We pray your blessing on everyone here and on each gift that is precious in your sight, and help us, dear God, to live lives of generosity and peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. There's room at the cross for you. As we prepare to go to God in prayer, I invite you to some moments of silence and some time just blocking everything else out. So you may want to close your eyes and bow your head and take a couple of deep breaths. And tune everything out in order to hear God. Kneel before God is surrounding you with His love. And speaking to you in a very special way. And as you are led to do so, make your prayer, silently or aloud, with the name of someone or a place in the world or a situation in life that needs God's healing love today, that we will bring at His feet before the throne of grace. All of these, O Lord, and many, many more, hear our prayer. O Ancient of Days, You created life, and that life never ends because Your love never ends. Your love for us was magnified by the coming of Your Son into the world and into our lives. And we remember year after year, Easter after Easter, our own shortcomings and faults. We also remember that You are greater than our mistakes. You are greater than anything that causes us to stumble. We remember year after year because we are waiting for Your coming into our world and into our lives in a new way. We remember year after year that we need resurrection that we need new life, and that you have overcome sin and death forever, and they do not have a hold on us. We give you today all the thanks and the praise, knowing you are coming again to us in a new way. It is in your name we pray, and using your words we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And if you please stand and turn to page 657 in your hymnals, we'll sing This Is the Day.
Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethage and Bethany, at the place called Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, Go into the village ahead of you and ask you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it, as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all their deeds of power and that they had seen. Saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. Amen. These are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
A few years ago, when I was pastoring in Miami, a young woman who had recently moved there from the Midwest dropped by my office for a chat about her love life. Or rather, she said, about the lack of her love life. She brought along a personal ad, and we used to do that before the age of the internet, you know, a personal ad that she had written for the Miami Times, which was a free, you know, weekly newspaper in Miami. And she wanted to know what I thought. I don't know why she, you know, came to me for advice, except for the fact that I was also single, but I don't know if that would have helped her any. But anyway, the ad that she wrote sounded like this. Wanted, 30-ish drummer in reggae band like the Wailers, with a romantic spirit, professional career, brown eyes, and Methodist. Is it just me, or does that seem a bit too specific? And as I was meditating on the events of Palm Sunday and Holy Week, I began to think about how much those folks who welcomed Jesus with shouts of Hosanna resemble folk who place overly specific ads in the personals. They are setting themselves up for a fall. The romantic ones, because they're dreamed of knight in shining armor or a reggae Methodist drummer, is unlikely to exist. And the religious ones, because the Messiah they're looking for isn't the Messiah they are likely to get. When the folk welcomed Jesus that long ago morning, they gave him a hero's welcome. They cheered him in the same way they would a military leader. They saw him as someone who could remove the heavy Roman boot from the back of their necks. And they applauded him as someone who could lead a revolt against the evil empire, someone who would lead them to freedom from the Romans. And Jesus, guess what, disappointed them. He was not 6 feet plus. He did not have abs of steel. He rode into town on a baby donkey, not a war horse. He went to pray at the temple and did not protest at the palace. Jesus did not turn out to be their idea of a savior. And by Friday, we know the story well, the joyous shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna had turned into bloodthirsty cries of crucify him, crucify him. What happened? As the week wore on and Jesus taught day after day in the temple, it became more and more clear, first to Judas and then to many others, that Jesus was not the Messiah they had been looking for. And they failed to realize that he was the Messiah they needed. In their expectation of a Messiah, I think the people of Jesus' time were a bit like the folk in this small Danish village a man at a retreat told me about a few years ago. There was a church, and an American was visiting this small village in a small fishing village, and on Sunday he attended services in this ancient church. And you know, churches in Europe go back centuries, not decades. He went early so he could see everything that was going on, and there was one particular thing that stood out as he attended that service. During the prelude, everyone who came in stopped halfway down the aisle, and they turned in the direction of a blank wall, and then they bowed. Everybody, no exceptions, everybody who came down the aisle, when the choir and the pastor came down, they stopped and turned to the blank wall and bowed. After the service, the visitor stood outside and he talked to the members who could speak English. And eventually he asked them about this practice of bowing to this blank wall. And they all said, "We don't know. We've always done that." And he asked the pastor, and the pastor said, "I don't know. They were doing that when I came, and I saw no reason to stop them. And so I don't know either." But he did promise to find out and send the visitor a letter and tell him what it meant. And so a few months later, he received a letter from the Danish pastor. When the church was built around the year 1150 AD, that's how long this had been going on, there had been a mural of the Madonna and Child on that wall. And at the time of the Reformation, when the Danish church went from Catholic to Lutheran, the mural was painted over, and people were instructed to stop bowing in front of the wall. But the people of the village ignored a long line of pastors telling them to stop bowing to the wall until the clergy just gave up. And eventually the people and the pastors all bowed to the wall and all forgot why they were doing it. Now, as I said, the people of Jesus' time were a lot like those villagers. They believed in and hoped for a Messiah, but they were also bowing to a blank wall, not sure what they were waiting for or worshiping. And sometimes modern Christians are the same way. The image of the real Jesus has been obscured by time and cultural shifts and preacherly reinterpretation. Over the years, we've been told that Jesus is this, Jesus is that, Jesus is the other thing, until the real Jesus is hard to see and almost impossible to know. And sometimes we're not sure who this Jesus really is, but there's something about his life and teaching, and witness, and death, and promise of life again that keeps drawing us back to the wall of worship, back to the place where we bow and pray and hope and look hard to see God in our lives. And that's what Holy Week is all about. It's a time to look for Jesus. To look for the Jesus in the Scriptures. To look for the Jesus in the events of the last week of his life. To look and see what this Jesus is all about. To shed our preconceived notions of what a Messiah, a Savior, a Christ, is supposed to be like, so that we can see and receive Jesus as he is. It's time to look for Jesus in prayer, to meditate upon his call to follow him in giving up self to serve the needs of others, especially the least and the most despised. It's a time to look for Jesus in worship, to join the community in our worship on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, to receive again his command that we love one another. That's the new commandment that he gives his disciples after the foot washing. To witness again his death upon the cross. And that's what we will be doing publicly, walking the cross down the streets of our city so that people will see and know who this Jesus is. Most of all, Holy Week is a time for us to look for Jesus in our lives, To see the real Jesus, Martin Luther said, we must look to the cross. And I have to explain this cross as I've been explaining it during the season of Lent. This is a special cross that we pulled out and that was up here completely clean and white on Ash Wednesday. It started out that way. And we asked everybody who participated in the Ash Wednesday service to put their thumb in the ashes and then put their thumbprint on the cross. And so this represents the people who worshiped on Ash Wednesday and came and put their thumbprint on the cross. Because that cross and those thumbprints represent Christ taking our burdens onto himself. Christ taking our sin onto himself. Christ taking his very life on the cross. There on the cross, Jesus revealed who God is. There we discover the God who suffers and dies for a sinful but beloved humanity. There on the cross, Christ calls us to follow. Calls up to take up our cross and serve and suffer for the world. Calls us to trust God's love now and forever. You want to know what Jesus is like. We don't have to bow to a blank wall. We bow to the cross and worship a Savior who loved us so much that he gave us the gift of eternal life. Amen, amen. And amen. Andy? Can we invite people to come to the altar during the singing of this last hymn? Okay.
It's a very up-tempo song.
Yes. It is?
But they'd be more than welcome to come and pray the rest.
All right. Our altar is always open, and you are invited to come and pray as we sing together.
And if you'd stand and look to the screen behind me.
Blank. It's just announced
the blank screen. See the technical difficulties.
If you know the song, sing along, or we'll just sing for you. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. from the rising to the setting sun. Love endures forever. By the grace of God, we'll carry on. Love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Forever.
There's room at the cross for you. Special place that has been prepared for you from the beginning of time. It is the love found in God Almighty, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. May God be with you now and go with you in peace as you leave this place. Amen.
Marky Mark. Somebody punch you in the